SportsCenter on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com. Live from the KNBR 1050 studios in San Francisco.
This country, our courts are the great levelers.
It's the law of sports.
Counselor, you wish to make an open statement?
Excuse me, Your Honor.
With sports attorney Ivan Gold on KNBR 1050.
This trial is outrageous! It's an infringement on your constitutional rights. It's outrageous, egregious, preposterous.
The sports leader.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Ivan Gold, Bay Area attorney, the law of sport. That's the name of this show. We're on every Saturday at 10 a.m. Lee Hammer, the general manager around here, has given me this opportunity to address the KNBR sports audience, and we love to do this every Saturday. We talk about law. We talk about sports. We talk about the law of sports. It's a great show. All the emails I've gotten, I really, really appreciate it. Thelawofsports.com or IvanWGold.com. I answer all the emails. But remember, folks, don't send any derogatory emails. The Michael Vick subject got a lot of derogatory. I got a lot of derogatory emails. Please keep the language clean. I'll answer any emails. Legal, sports legal, I'll answer them. Ivan Gold, that's me, Bay Area attorney. I worked for the Raiders for several years. I've represented a lot of former, current players and coaches. I lectured to professional players, NFL players, as part of the NFL Life Skills Program. I lectured to college players about conduct on and off the field. One of my clients right now, Raider head coach Tom Cable, and I do legal commentary for Fox News and CNN on high-profile sports cases like Michael Vick, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Isaiah Thomas, on and on and on. It's a whole entity of itself, high-profile sports cases, and we have a good time with it, and I'm glad Lee Hammer gave me this opportunity. And today, folks, we have a special show in studio live. Doug Harris, Abdul Jalil, Bay Area activist, sports agent, and very close friend and associate of Glenn Burke. We're talking Glenn Burke and Doug Harris, who produced the documentary Out OUT about Glenn Burke, Berkeley High graduate, former Major League Baseball player, the first openly homosexual player in the major leagues. He played for the Dodgers, played for the A's. Phenomenal talent. They are in studio live to talk about Out. That's been on Comcast cable television, the documentary. It's a phenomenal documentary. I've seen it. It brings up so many issues, so many contemporary issues that are revolving homosexual athletes and athletes in general and us as a society and on and on and on. We'll get into it. It'll be a great discussion. We're very, very fortunate to have this rare opportunity to have both Doug Harris and Abdul Jalil in the studio to talk about Out. But before we get to that, of course, we're running down some stories. 808-1050 is the number. 808-1050 is the number. You're welcome to call. And after this first segment, we will get right to Doug Harris and Abdul Jalil about Out, the story of Glenn Burke. And I remember seeing Glenn Burke play. This was a phenomenal talent. They thought he was actually going to be the next Willie Mays. He could do everything. He could run, hit, throw, hit for power. He had it all. But, you know, at that time, being a homosexual in Major League Baseball and professional sports, it brought up a lot of issues and sports fans, the whole macho thing, and basically it was a sad ending, but we'll get into all of that. But it's something that I think everybody should sort of take a look at, the whole Glenn Burke story now in retrospect. Before we get to that, though, I want to run down some things. For one thing, I have to applaud the Giants, the San Francisco Giants. Signing Miguel Tejada, I think, was an excellent, excellent acquisition. I don't know what Brian Sabian's been doing, but he's got the magic touch the last 2 years. I mean, Tejada, great acquisition. I wish the A's had picked him up. The guy could still play. He's an Iron Man, Miguel Tejada. He could play another 3, 4, 5 years. He could hit for power. He can field. He filled that shortstop hole. I think they're better off with Miguel Tejada, actually. So that's a great acquisition for the Giants. They seem ready to roll, signing their existing free agents, signing Aubrey Huff, signing Pat Burrell for 1 year. Pat Burrell was a big key for the Giants. I wish, as the A's growing up in Oakland, seeing the A's win those three championships in the early 70s, I wish the A's had Pat Burrell. That's a steal that the Giants re-signed him. I thought he, if it was 18 home runs playing part of the season, I would have thought he would have commanded a lot more salary and a longer contract. Only 1 year, but the Giants retained Pat Burrell and pick up Miguel Tejada. The A's, by the way, have signed Sweeney. We're $1.4 million, their outfielder. And that brought Mike Sweeney, and he's a very good talent too, but he's been injured his entire career. But the A's do retain him, sign him for $1.4 million. So that's good. Ron Santo passed away. Ron Santo, the Chicago Cub, great third baseman. just the backbone of the Chicago Cub franchise, really. The fixture of the Chicago Cubs broadcaster for many years. Sadly, he passed away, Ron Santo. So we grieve for Ron Santo this morning. Let's talk about Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, I talked about it last 2 weeks ago. Bruce Jenkins called him in the paper about how Tiger Woods was through, about his career was essentially over. He would never be the same. And I said, what has Bruce Jenkins been smoking? Does he know anything about golf? Does he know anything about Tiger Woods at all? That is just, for Bruce Jenkins, who's a highly respected writer, who's been around a long time, for him to say that about Tiger Woods, I knew he didn't know what he was talking about. What does Tiger do this weekend? Well, he just goes out and she's 65, 66, has a four-stroke lead in the Chevron World Challenge. Tiger now getting his personal life together. The divorce is over. He's focusing on golf now, on his trade. He has a new instructor now. Everything's said. Tiger's a monster. Tiger's a beast. Tiger will be back, and everybody on the PGA Tour knows it. 65, 66, not too bad. Four-shot lead. Bruce Jenkins, what have you been smoking? The NFL player conduct policy, we have to talk about this. I got many emails, at least 10 emails, from fans, because me having worked for the Raiders and representing Coach Tom Cable and having associations with the Raiders, the Miami Dolphins, and I don't want to name players on the air. Well, I think I might as well. Patrick Crowder, the defensive end for the Miami Dolphins. Several fans emailed me and told me that he was swearing at the fans, and several other Miami Dolphins were actually engaging in conversations with Raider fans back and forth, swearing, derogatory comments. Am I wrong? I thought professional athletes are not supposed to talk to the fans during the game at all. So what is going on here? This brings in the NFL player conduct policy, and I had several fans saying they were going to write to the commissioner, write to the Miami Dolphins, and complain. There are young kids at these games, high school kids, impressionable children, everybody at the game. You go to a football game to watch, to be entertained, to have a good time. And, of course, everyone's kind of in a feisty mood, but I just don't think the player should address the fans at all. And then to swear or talk back to the fans, disappointed, don't like to see that. Look, my producer, Phil, is yelling in my ear. We're going to take a quick break. Okay, we'll take the break. Call up 808-1050 is the number, 808-1050. Be patient with me because the board is down. So Phil has to yell in my ear when callers call. 808-1050 is the number, 808-1050, thelawsports.com. Ivan Gold, Bay Area attorney. We're here to talk to you. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. And we're going to get to Glenn Burke. The Out is the name of the documentary. You've got Abdul Jalil and Doug Harris. Abdul Jalil, Bay Area activist, sports agent, sports management, close friend of Glenn Burke, knows everything about what's going on with Burke and Bay Area sports and Bay Area issues in general regarding athletes, young athletes, old athletes, and Doug Harris, who produced not only Out, but has produced other documentaries as well. Very interesting guest in the studio, and we will get right to them after this brief timeout. Stay tuned.
Now back to the Law of Sports with Ivan Gold on KNBR 1050.
Yes, welcome back to the Law of Sports. Ivan Gold, Bay Area attorney. Like I promised, we've got Abdul Jalil and Doug Harris in studio to talk about Out. The producer, Doug Harris, who produced the documentary. Abdul Jalil, close friend, who's in the documentary of Glenn Burke. And before we get to that, I just have to throw one thing out I saw, and I just this little thing here. The Harlem Globetrotters are going to be here January 15th and 16th at the Oakland Arena, Oracle Arena. And I couldn't believe it. They're instituting a four-point play. I guess they have trouble with the Washington Generals, right? Having the Globetrotters won like over 1,000 consecutive games. They think in order to continue their winning streak, they need to institute a four-point play. Of course, it would impress the fans, a four-point play. When I heard that, I thought, well, how far would it be? 50 feet, 60 feet, 75 feet? Remember Meadowlark Lim, that hook shot from beyond on half court? Turns out it's only 35 feet. Okay, come on, Harlem Globetrotters. If I could still shoot a 35-footer, give me a four-point play on that? Oh, man, but go see the Globetrotters. Great entertainment. Take your kids there. It's a lot of fun. The Harlem Globetrotters, I remember growing up with Curly Neal and Meadowlark Lemon and Marcus Haynes, all those guys. Anyway, let's get right to it. Okay, Abdul Jalil, Doug Harris, we're going to talk about Out. Glenn Burke, welcome to the show, you guys.
Hey, how you doing, Ivan?
Good to be here, Ivan.
Good, good. Let's start with you, Abdul Jalil. Sports management, Bay Area. Again, introduce yourself to the audience and talk about Glenn Burke and just give an overall view about Out and what you think about it and how it came to be. And then we'll hear from Doug who produced it and we'll go from there.
Well, I think most people know a little bit about me, but those that don't can always go to
superstarmanagement.com, and they can find out everything there. There's a related website, XY Adventures, which is ex-why.com, exy.com. And also the Internet Margaret Wallace Foundation. So we have a few things there. But as it relates to Glenn, you know, he's a friend, a close friend, someone who I've known since he was, you know, 12, 13 years old back in middle school. And then we had him in sports camps all the way through high school and afterwards. And we were friends. I also represented quite a few of the guys that he played with and advised him as well. So, you know, we have a long time together. Yeah.
Interesting. You know, we have a call. Like I said, the board is down. Phil, my great producer, Phil, put that caller through. We've got a caller. Tina, go ahead. Tina from El Cerrito, go ahead. You're on the air. Ivan Gold, Abdul Jalil, Doug Harris, we're talking. Glenn Burke, we're talking out. If you have another question, you know, we'll take it. Go ahead. What do you got?
Counselor, good morning. I was calling because basically I just want to comment really quickly on what you said earlier about the players not interacting with the fans.
Yes.
And how I just want you to know we attended the Raider game versus Miami Dolphins last Sunday. It was horrible. Channing Crowder has the worst mouth. I mean, the biggest potted mouth. He cursed at the fans constantly. There were kids down there. There were kids who were Miami Dolphins fans down there. We sat right behind the Miami.
I know I've
fans.
Got a lot of emails about this.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, no, I've gotten emails about this. I don't know what the problem is. That's, look, you may want to contact the Miami Dolphins. You may want to contact the commissioner's office and say this. Professional athletes should not be addressing the fans. I agree with you. But let's talk about Glenn Burke, though, because I think it's a really important subject. You know, what do you think about that? I mean, do you have any thoughts on that? Glenn Burke, Berkeley High graduate, first homosexual player. Caller? Hello? Phil, is everything okay with the phones? Okay, we lost her. Folks out in the audience, we're having a little technical difficulties with the board, but hey, call up. I'll get the call in my ear. Let's continue Glenn Burke out. Don't worry. We've got plenty of time, audience, and this is going to be a great show. Go ahead, Abdul Jalil, tell me more. Glenn Burke, talk about a good... Because the reason why we have to do this... We have to introduce Glenn Burke to the audience now. It's been a while now. I mean, Glenn Burke, he passed away in May 1995. He played in the 80s. A lot of people don't remember him now. And let me ask you this, though. And this is a question for both Doug Harris and Abdul Jalil. Why did it take so long to do this? I mean, why 2010, 15 years after he passed away? I want you both to address that issue.
Well, I'll just say for me, I was disappointed that it takes this long to do anything that it has this much merit. One of the questions I think that kind of raises it in everyone's mind is perhaps the world wasn't ready. You know, now things have changed quite a bit. You know, we have don't ask, don't tell. We have the issues with suicides regarding kids being taunted for their homosexuality. We have gay marriage now. So we have a lot of issues in society that's changed. One of the things that, you know, I've really, you know, kind of propounded in this whole litany of why now is because we have so much acceptance in society, how it's changed so much. The advent of gay characters, which predominates now in theater, and I'm saying film, entertainment, the androgyny issues, asexuality issues. There's so much more now that's being presented because a lot of those same elements now control the industry, particularly when you start talking about entertainment. But why it took so long, you probably should ask Doug since he's the one who did this.
Doug, you produced it. Introduce yourself to the audience. And I really would like to hear why now, 15 years, whose idea was it? Tell me how this project came about.
Well, you know, first and foremost, that I have to give props to Ted Griggs because Ted Griggs, the vice president and general manager at Comcast Sportsnet, approached me back in May about this project about Glenn Burke. And, you know, Ted called me into the conference room around in the corner at Comcast Sportsnet. And, you know, we had a meeting between myself, Ted, and Sean Madison. And the first question that I asked Ted was, why Glenn Burke? You know, this is a very complex story to be attacking. And Ted really felt that there could be a lot of good out of this documentary because it was not only a sports documentary, but it was more of a human story for the viewers. And Ted really went out on a limb on this because, you know, vice president, general managers don't produce executive produce documentary films, and in particular about something so controversial. But I think that
So you want to applaud Comcast? Do you think they deserve some props for
backing
you? Man, I
want to applaud my partner Ted first, Ted Griggs, and then, you know, our whole team at Comcast Sports, because you know, I was asked to be a part of the production team as a producer, and I've done a number of documentaries with the network back when they were Fox Sports. And so it was just, you know, it was just really an honor for me to be able to be a part of the team. And, you know, Abdul made the point about why it took so long. And I think, you know, maybe it's because nobody really had the balls to, you know, step forward and say, hey, this is a story that needs to be told.
I mean, Glenn Burke from Berkeley High, a local kid who made good. Tell me, as you created the documentary, did you learn things you didn't know, or did the story kind of take a life of its own? Or tell me about the evolution of the documentary and the process of what you learned as you made the documentary, Doug.
Well, like the documentary, I had read the book, you know, several years ago, and you know, I knew Glenn Burke personally from when I played basketball at Berkeley High. But an interesting thing about this documentary is, like you said a moment ago, things sort of evolve. Now, I'm going to give you an example, a perfect example of what I mean by that, is that during the research part of the project, you know, earlier in the summer, you know, I'm trying to find out who Glenn Burke's agent is.
Interesting.
You know, I want to know who his agent
is. And the caller is 808-1050 is the number. 808-1050 is the number. Doug Harris, Abdul Jalil, talking out the story of Glenn Burke, first openly homosexual player in Major League Baseball. Doug, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, please.
Oh, that's fine. But so I'm trying to find out who Glenn Burke's agent is, because if I can contact his agent, I could probably hear about some of the inner workings of what was going on while he was dealing with the Dodgers and getting moved to the A's. I really wanted to know about that. And so the only person that I could really talk to that who might know who Glenn's agent was Abdul Jalil. And so I found myself talking to Abdul Jalil. We talked maybe four or five times. And out of the information that Abdul was giving me, it just came to my, it's like, man, you have to be in this film. And I can't thank Abdul enough for the integral role he played in our documentary.
So that we know that Abdul Jalil now is one of the main sources of this documentary. And that's why I'm glad that we have him in the studio live. So, you know, Glenn Burke, as it unraveled, so what did you learn? What did you learn, Doug? And Abdul, Jalil, both of you answered this. Is there something that came to light as you made this documentary that you didn't know before, or that maybe hit you in a way that struck you that, hey, this is really a story that needs to be told?
You know, one of the things about the people that we interviewed for this story was that, you know, I'm speaking in terms of his major league teammates and people that were involved with Major League Baseball. They loved Glenn Burke, and they had no problems with his sexual preference while playing on the team. Now, you know, it would have really been nice if we could have interviewed some people who had problems with that, but
like manager Tommy Lasorda. I'm interested in that, because I must throw that out. And that, folks, Glenn Burke dated Tommy Lasorda's son, who was homosexual, and Tommy Lasorda denied that. I mean, did you try to contact Tommy Lasorda for an interview?
Yeah, well, you know, Sean, my co-producer Sean Madison, you know, he made several attempts. I wasn't too involved with scheduling of the Dodgers, the people that work with the Dodger organization. Now, you know, Sean and I, we divvied up the roles and responsibilities in terms of contacting people, but they left us pretty much hanging, you know, as it related to Tommy Lasorda. And my whole point was that had we got Tommy Lasorda for the documentary, I think it would have been nice to hear his perspective about Glenn Burke, not as a gay baseball player, but as Glenn Burke with with talent and a person that was an integral part of that Dodgers
team. A former player. Now, another question I have, and this is for Abdul Jalil, and we have to take a quick break, and listeners, sit on this question for a minute. Abdul Jalil, you work with players, you represent players, you're their agent, you're marketing, et cetera. Will we ever see a superstar, an openly gay, homosexual player? Will they come out, admit that? How will that affect a sponsorship? Is society ready for a Michael Jordan who's homosexual, a player of that stature? Will it ever happen? Could it ever happen? We'll be right back. We have to take a quick break. Phil, my producer, is yelling in my ear again. We'll be right back. The Law of Sports with Ivy Gold. We're talking Glenn Burke out with Abdul Jalil and Doug Harris in studio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Law of Sports with sports attorney Ivan Gold continues on KNBR 1050, the sports leader.
Yes, welcome back to Law of Sports with Ivan Gold, Bay Area attorney. You represent a lot of former current players and coaches. Do sports law, all sorts of law, thelawofsports.com. Hit me with the email. I promise I will answer it. We've got Doug Harris, producer of Out, Abdul Jalil, close friend of Glenn Burke, who is in the documentary Out. It's about the first homosexual player in the major leagues who came out, who everyone knows about. There may be others, but he openly was gay during his career. Glenn Burke, Berkeley High graduate, played the Dodgers and the A's. It's on Comcast Cable. It's Out, O-U-T. Incredible story if you think about all the ramifications of it. And it's a story a lot of people don't know about because it was sort of kept secret. It wasn't talked about. But within Major League Baseball, Glenn Burke was known to be openly gay. And we've got Doug Harris and Abdul Jalil in studio. We have a caller on call. We'll get it right to Neil and Berkeley in just a quick minute. I did pose a question to Abdul Jalil. He works with athletes. He represents them. He markets them. I would need to answer this question. Is it time, will there ever be a time where there will be an openly gay player in a major sport, baseball, football, basketball, who acknowledges his homosexuality and could he get sponsorships and would that be accepted by the fans? Please, both of you answer that. Abdul Jalil, go first.
Well, given the information I provided earlier in terms of how society has progressed, I think it's unequivocally yes. And I think that once that player comes in at that stature with that type of ability, if any league decided to try to keep that particular person out, that he would probably win enough money in a lawsuit to have his own gay franchise.
But could he get sponsorships? Would Nike step up? Would Coca-Cola step up? You know, would these sponsors step up and put this guy or a woman as a major endorser?
Let's say if he's an NBA star and he's averaging 27 points and 14 rebounds a game and maybe like 6 or 7 assists. What do you think would happen?
You know what? I'm not so sure. Would Nike pony up the money? Would Nike pony up $10, $20, $30 million, get a guy a tennis shoe, put him on as a major spokesman? Would that happen? I have my doubts, quite frankly.
I think whoever sponsor would be would hit a home run.
Well, let's look at it this way, you know, because if you're going to look at a guy who has the same stats as any other major superstar and he just happens to be gay, you're adding another market. You're not eliminating the other market. He can sell just the same shoes that people who would buy a Jordan or a LeBron or a Kobe, and he just happens to also sell one who wants to buy one whose name is Lisa or Larry or someone who might be transgender or transsexual or anything else.
But hold on a sec. Martina Navratilova, the great tennis player, Billie Jean King, when she came out, those two superstars of tennis, they were practically banished in those days from sponsorships. I mean, are you telling me, do you think we've come that far as a society?
We have gay players in all major sports, in golf, I believe, everything.
But do they get the sponsorships? That's what I'm asking. Will they be accepted by the public as heroes?
I don't think you have to look at them as being accepted by the public as heroes. I think what you have to look at is, are they marketable, period? And if they are able to cater to that specific market as well as cross over and get a much broader market as well, that's just a plus. You know, again, you know, go back to the analogy I used about, you know, the gays now that are being openly displayed in movies and TV shows today. If you do not have a gay character today in any of your formatting, any of your programming, you're not relevant. You're not current. You can go back through the TVs and look at any show you want. They're cumed to attract that audience.
So, Julie, would you like to represent Glenn Burke if he were alive today? You think he could get sponsorships? You think there would be a place for him in the commercial aspect of professional sports?
Oh, if today, absolutely. Because you got to keep in mind, today it's more open. Today it would be an opportunity for someone like Glenn to not only be hailed as a star in the Castro, but be hailed as a star nationwide, maybe even internationally.
It's interesting.
And the reason why I bring that up is because you know, Doug and I have talked about this entire film. We've talked about it months. And one of the problems I had with it was that it wasn't received by Comcast for the major property that it truly is. Now they're starting to see it because of the respects they're getting, the reaction they're getting, the demand that's being created. It, I told Doug, if I'm doing this promotion, Lady Gaga's there.
You know, it's interesting. Maybe it'll turn into a major motion picture. We've got Neil from Berkeley. Neil, thank you for holding. You're on the air live with the Dual Jewel, Doug Harris, the Glenn Burk story out. Good morning. What do you got?
Well, good morning. This is very interesting. But you know, I have to confess, I'm finding all this to be somewhat irrelevant and odd. I mean, I don't see where the story is. I don't understand where this is going. I mean, what's so great about Glenn Burk, other than the fact that he was gay? What I find odd in today's society is that the story is their homosexuality or sexual preference, not who they are, what they've accomplished, what obstacles they've had to overcome. I mean, we're talking, it's great to see all this enlightenment going on, but I don't understand who this guy is and why we're talking about him, other than the fact he's gay. We're picking judges because they're transsexual, and we're doing all this stuff, and this, it seems to me that their sexuality is more important than who they are. And we're talking gays in the military. These Marines are saying, hey, I'm front and center. My life is on the line every day. I don't want gay people around me. And unless you're willing to go sit in those shoes, then there shouldn't be gay people in there, because those are the guys, you know, in the airplanes. They're the ones fighting the Taliban. So as far as I'm concerned, the story should be more than he is gay. That, to me, is the side of the story. But what's more important is, who is he, what does he overcome, and who's underneath this?
Excuse me, Neil. This is Doug Harris, producer of Out. Did you get a chance to look at the film?
No, I've just seen the discussions about the film. So I'm asking really to be in the light a little bit.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, you know, when we produced the film, the whole gay and the homosexual aspect of Glenn's life was something that came out within the cast members, you know, who were actually telling Glenn's life story. And you know, his story is a very tragic story. And, you know, it would be great if you kind of watched the
film. But, Doug, the question is, though, and address this question, what did, other than him being gay, homosexual, tell the listeners, you know, what did he have to overcome? I mean, was that a barrier for him to make the major leagues? The fact is, if he was openly gay during his minor league career, I mean, the fact that he even made the major leagues is pretty incredible.
Okay, let's start with this, right? You're a major league player, and you catapult through the Dodger organization. Dodgers, one of the most winning franchises in baseball history next to the Yankees. You catapult through their minor league system,
but
right?
But the fact that he was gay, was that an obstacle for him? And did he have to overcome anything special, or how did that play into this whole story?
Well, let me answer that, because, you know, I was more involved in Glenn's minor league career coming up into the majors and beyond. And you have to understand one thing quickly. The Dodgers, at the major league level at that time, had Ron Say, they had Steve Garvey, they had Dusty Baker, they had Davey Lopes, they had Reggie Smith, among others. And none of those guys was perceived as the next Willie Mays. Glenn was. Here's a guy who, in double-A ball, player of the year. A ball, player of the year. Rookie league, player of the year. There had never been an athlete with the kind of skills Glenn had that had ever played baseball before. You found those kind of athletes playing basketball, playing, running in the Olympics, things of that nature. He was going to change the game and had literally done so. And a good example of that, when you start talking about how his teammates loved him on the Dodgers after he swept through the minor leagues. And here's a guy, as Doug said, even though the guys on the Dodgers knew Glenn had a difference in terms of sexual preference, he was still the man in that clubhouse.
But Julie, let me ask you this.
Was he a tragic figure or not?
This story is a human interest story. It is a tragedy. It is exactly that.
Why?
Here's someone who was persecuted because of his sexual preference, and he was allowed to see the door out of baseball because of what he decided to do in his own bedroom. It had nothing at all to do with what he did on the field. And the players were the ones who said, what do you mean? Why is he being traded? We need him. And you can't get any greater testimonial than that from the players who you're in that dugout with, in that clubhouse with, that locker room with every day, who testified as to Glenn's abilities. And for a rookie to come in off the street and to demand the kind of presence he had in that clubhouse and to run that team, unheard of.
Are you saying then that this organization that gave Jackie Robinson a chance to play traded him simply because he was gay?
Well, you know, when you look at how it occurred, there's no other possibility. And when you ask the players and the people who were involved, there's no other concession you can give. If you look at the fact that Glenn decided, for whatever reason, that he was going to make some personal appearances and do a few things and happened to be with the manager's son, who the manager to this day will not acknowledge was gay, that doesn't bode well for your employment security.
I want to run into somebody, Neil, real quick.
Okay, and Doug, we have to take a quick break. Neil, please hold and come back with us on the other side. Doug, make a point, then we have to take a quick break. Doug Harris, producer of Out. Go ahead, please.
Neil, okay, when Glenn Burke was on the Dodgers, the management of the team offered him a substantial amount of money for him to get married. Now, a team wouldn't offer you money to get married if they didn't believe you were going to be an integral part of their organization and they're moving forward to the World Series and whatnot.
If you weren't already an integral part.
Okay, Neil, hold on, everybody. We'll be right back. The Law of Sports with Ivan Gold. We have to take a brief commercial or else the bills won't get paid. They're going to turn the lights out here. We'll be right back after this brief timeout.
The Law of Sports is brought to you by Steel Mill Recycling of Napa, serving Napa, Sonoma, and Solano County since 1955.
The Law of Sports with sports attorney Ivan Gold continues on KNBR 1050, the sports leader.
Yes, welcome back to the Law of Sports. Ivan Gold, Bay Area attorney, thelawofsports.com. I will answer all of your questions about the law, the sports, anything. 808-1050 is the number. 808-1050 is the number. Ivan Gold, Bay Area attorney. We've got Doug Harris, who produced Out, the story of Glenn Burke on Comcast Cable. Watch it. Abdul Jaleel, close childhood friend of Glenn Burke, who's in the story. Bay Area Superstar Sports Management is his company. He represents Bay Area athletes and marketing and all sorts of things. He's been around a long time. Ran track for Cal Berkeley back in the 70s when Cal was at its peak in height in track and field. Great to have them both in studio. Let's get back to Neil and Berkeley. You guys are having the discussion. I'm going to back out. Go, Neil, finish up your question, please.
Well, during the break, I was thinking, you know, I do see the tragedy a little bit now. In the Jackie Robinson era, you know, obviously there was a tremendous amount of discrimination both in the community and some players, but a lot of players stood side by side to him, shoulder to shoulder, and said, if you're discriminating against me. So he had, Jackie Robinson had people at his side to try to at least educate the community back in that time. Was there any equivalent in the Dodger organization among all these superstars that said to management and everyone, don't do this at Glenn Burke?
Yeah, Davey Lopes, in interviewing Davey Lopes right at Dodger Stadium, he stormed into Al Campanis' office, the general manager, and demanded an explanation of why they traded the lifeblood of the team. Glenn Burke was the pulse of the Dodgers.
And you know, you also got to keep in mind that Jackie Robinson was a process. He wasn't an individual. They selected someone that they knew could be trained in a certain way to make it through the system so that he would be non-threatening to whites, he would be acceptable to whites, and he still would be a great enough baseball player so that you couldn't deny his abilities on the field. It's well established that among black Negro ball players at that time, Jackie Robinson wasn't even in the top 10. So you got to keep in mind that he was a certain type of individual that was groomed for that particular role that they chose. And you look at Glenn now, you know what? Glenn could have been white. He could have been Latino. He could have been of any choice of color or race, preference, anything you want. For him to come out, or that person who will come out, they would have faced an unfathomable amount of resistance because at that time, sports and society was completely homophobic, anti-gay. If you were anything other than white bread, it did not pass the test. So it wouldn't have mattered. Glenn could have been a Latino or a white, and the same thing would have happened. So it's a matter of you saying whether or not society is ready to take on these things, not just baseball.
Hey, these are some good questions you raised, Neil.
Great, great question.
Neil, anything else? Anything else?
No, I just want to tell you that even though, I mean, I just appreciated the enlightenment. I think that's the most important thing. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Neil. And I'll also add that it's because Glenn's story has come out that this enlightenment has taken place all over the nation. And that's the reason why the story has already been repeated 5 times on air and it's headed nationally.
Well, good luck to you all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Right.
Thanks, Neil.
Okay, Riley Bodega Bay, you're on the Law of Sports with Ivan Goat. I don't like to keep callers on hold, so get right to it. Thank you for calling the show. Doug Harris, Abdul-Jaleel, live in studio, out. The story of Glenn Burke. What do you got this morning, Riley?
Hey, man, first off, I got to say that Neil is a very interesting caller. That was a great call. I hope I can follow up. But you know what? I see, not just in sports, I see it in society. I've got a very good friend. I'm getting up there in age a little bit. A very good friend who years ago came out of the closet, a mortgage broker. And it's like the same type of deal. I mean, it really hurt his business. And it took him years to, but he was strong enough to do that. And it took him years to build that back up. Now, I think there's more of an acceptance in society now than there used to be. But I don't think it's just in sports. I think it's all over. And he's one of the top mortgage brokers in California.
How long ago was it that he came out?
In the 80s.
Yeah, well, that's around the same time. See, you know, Glenn was a really phenomenal athlete, and he played through the 70s into the 80s, and then he stopped right in 80 because it got to a point where it was no longer about his ability. It was about his sexual preference. And whatever a guy does in his bedroom should have nothing at all to do with what he does on his job.
Well, Riley, your friend, the mortgage broker, let me ask you this. I mean, I appreciate you calling this show, and you raise a good point. Look, do you think Glenn Burke, how would that be accepted today? Do you think a Glenn Burke or any athlete could come out openly and acknowledge that he's gay and be accepted by the fans and corporate America in professional sports sponsorship? What's your take as a fan, as a caller to the Law of Sports? Go ahead.
I don't think they'd be accepted now. You know, like, he's accepted now, but that's, you know, he doesn't have to deal with endorsements and all of that. And, you know, what's surprising is, you know, here in the Bay Area, you would think, you know, when he came out in the 80s, that it would be accepted, but it really hurt him. But now he's doing, you know, he's in Berkeley now, and he's accepted. But
what about a professional athlete, a high-profile athlete? Would the fans accept that? Abdul-Jaleel, who works with athletes, said it would be great because you'd have an expansive market. You'd have more people. What's your take on it? I mean, what do you think? As a sports fan, not as a professional, Jaleel is in the industry, what do you think as a fan? Do you think that an openly gay player could be accepted as a corporate sponsor?
Maybe if it was an individual sport like tennis or golf, maybe. And they'd have to be really good, and I don't know who would sponsor them, but it's a good question, but I don't think so. But a team sport, I think, would be a lot more difficult.
Well, you know, you're right. It would be a lot more difficult, but that's the whole premise that you're basing your argument on. In individual sports, it already exists. There are already sponsors for people who are obviously known to be gay. It's not a secret. You know, the idea that Doug brought forth, that if a guy's out here, he's averaging 27 points a game, he's getting 14 rebounds a game and 5 or 6 assists, that guy's going to play. That guy's going to be a superstar. He's going to be recognized. He's not going to get any less endorsements. He's going to get the same type of endorsements. Plus, he'll have another market that he can cater to that doesn't exist. And that's something that we're starting to see now. As I said, go back to the entertainment industry, see the changes over the last 30 years, see the changes in society over the last 30 years. And, you know, you don't have to go too far. I mean, we have gay marriages now. You know, society is moved ahead of sports because sports, the old macho way it is, it's old school in that sense. Almost archaic. It's baseball, it still operates as a slave sport. No different than it did years ago. It's not much different from Jackie Robinson.
I could see it like in female, like lesbian, I think is much more acceptable. Like in female sports, I think it's acceptable. But I think there's still a long ways to go for society to accept it for males. What do you think?
Well, I think it's going to happen. And again, you know, and you know, when Neil had his question, he mentioned about serving in the military with gays. The general came out last night in a press conference and said, "I've served with gays. We all know who they are. This is not the first person." He said, "And we had no drop off in terms of their performance. There was no threat to security. There was nothing." So what he's saying is, it's time to drop, don't ask, don't tell. You know, nobody cares as long as you're able to do your job. And that's the same thing. Neil, Riley, if someone comes to you and they say, look, man, you know, you're great at what you do, and I know it doesn't affect the workplace. Matter of fact, everybody here loves you. You are the one that really makes this company go. But, you know, we got to let you go.
You know, there's an interesting thought that came to my whole process throughout the production of this film, and it's that, you know, I'm sure there are a number of gay players in the NFL, a number of gay players in Major League Baseball, and for sure in the NBA. Hockey, I don't really follow hockey much, but what I want to say is that there has to be gays in those sports, and for them not to want to come out and make a public announcement that they're gay, that's their business. They're still players in the league. They're professional men. And if they choose to live a gay lifestyle away from the gym or the field, that's their business. And I think that people just, you know, if they're gay, why should they have to announce to the general public that they're gay? Why can't they just be themselves and live their life the way they want to live it personally and privately? Whatever their preference is, you know, after the game in the evenings or whatever, that's their business. But why does society pressure people to come out?
That's a good, yeah, that is a good, why is it? You know, it's interesting just thinking about this now. It's like, they'd always give, like, with the 49ers, Jeff Garcia and Steve Young, that they're gay. And, you know, these guys are going to say, oh, no, we're not gay. We're not gay. Why, you know, the mainstream press was doing that. What do you think about that?
You know, I had I had a very dear friend of mine who I was discussing this with the other day, and I reminded her of how there's been this propensity in society to label people. And one was, if you talk with a lisp, you know, she was talking about, well, you know, if you have a gap in your teeth, you know. So does that mean if you go get braces in your teeth, fix, you're no longer gay or something, or you don't lie anymore? You know, you got all these kind of, I don't know what you want to call them. They're not even old wives' tales. They're just garbage.
Your wrist.
Yeah, however it might be. Whatever little, you know, thing that might be concerned.
Mannerisms.
Well, it's not even a mannerism, because it's, you know, what Jeff was saying, and I'm going back to Jeff Garcia, because he said this. He said, because someone is sophisticated and they speak with proper diction doesn't mean that they're gay.
Although I think Terrell Owens accused Jeff Garcia of being gay.
Well, there was always whispers, and that's something you hear all the time. You know, there's a number of top-flight athletes, dominant athletes in the sports, that we've always had, you know, whispers about. There's some that you've had displays, and you question them. But no one is going to come out and say, you're this, unless they know it.
You know, this is interesting. Glenn Burke was actually the first Major League player during his career to acknowledge he was gay. 6,552 Major League players up to the point. And he was the first player to acknowledge he was gay during his career. Another thing, Billy Martin, and this is an interesting thing, and Riley, I want your take on this too. Look, Billy Martin, the manager, legendary from Berkeley High, the same high school where Glenn Burke went to high school, who managed the A's when Glenn Burke came to the A's, used a homosexual slur in introducing Glenn Burke to his teammates in spring training. Talk about Billy Martin, Glenn Burke, and also one other thing about this. Glenn Burke, after his career, he contracted HIV, spent time in prison, and became homeless. It was a very sad ending. You know, what about the aftermath of everything? And talk about Billy Martin, talk about the aftermath. And Riley, I want your take first before I get to Julio and Doug Harris. You know, you're a great sports fan. Again, tell me, what's your take on all of that, about the way it went down with the A's and the way it ended for Glenn Burke?
You know, Billy Martin, may he rest in peace. The guy, he was probably drunk. You know, he was, seriously, I mean, he was on the loose end and he was always drunk. So you can't really, you can't take what he had to say. Who knows what other slurs he said to everybody, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, how bad he treated Reggie Jackson when he was with the Yankees. And, you know, I think that was a racial thing. So, you know, that's just the way he was. So, you know, it's a sad story.
Well, you know, Billy Martin was one of those types whose ego was so big that no one could be bigger than him on the team, and that included the owner. If you know Billy Martin, he was one of those guys that he's the smallest person in a bar, first one to start a fight, and the last one to go home. You know, so you got all kind of issues. And Billy Bean, who was a baseball player who came out after
and not the Billy Beane who runs the Oakland A's, by the way, but just to be clear, another Billy Beane who played for the Dodgers.
And, he played for the Dodgers and for the Angels. And he came out and said, you know, if there was a worse person on this earth for Glenn Burke to be playing for as a manager, he doesn't exist. Billy Martin was the worst guy possible. And for all those same reasons, you know, but again, you got to keep in mind that at that time, Billy's thoughts and his actions just reflected those society. You know, it was very painful. It was a very painful time in society. And it happened to be here in the Bay Area at a time. Keep in mind, I want you to get a mindset of what Glenn Burke is all about. Glenn Burke was a teen of the 60s. Free love, women burning their bras, the anti-war demonstrations, boycotts, Black Panthers, Gray Panthers, you name it. Sexual revolutions, it was completely wide open. So here's a kid who has had all these impulses, had all these impressions, and he was undaunted. Glenn Burke was a guy who, and everyone who ever known Glenn will make it clear to you, he was a man's man. Glenn would take any criteria you would establish to determine what a man was, and Glenn would exceed that criteria and then say, I'm gay.
It's a fascinating story. We have to take a quick break. Doug Harris, Abdul Jalil, we're talking out. The Glenn Burke story. We'll be right back. 808-1050 is the number. 808-1050 is the number. Stay on the line, Riley, if you can. 808-1050. We'll be right back after this brief timeout.
The Law of Sports with sports attorney Ivan Gold continues on KNBR 1050, the sports leader.
Yes, welcome back, everybody, to the Law of Sports. Ivan Gold, Bay Area attorney. I host this show every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Lee Hammer has given me this great opportunity to address the KNBR audience. This is KNBR 1050, Ivan Gold, Bay Area attorney, the Law of Sports. I'm here every Saturday at 10 a.m. And, of course, this morning I have a very, very controversial subject, controversial topic. Glenn Burke, the first homosexual player to acknowledge he was gay during his career. We've got Doug Harris, who produced Out. That's what the name of the documentary is called. He's here in studio. Abdul Jalil from Superstar Management, close friend of Glenn Burke, and is in the documentary. Fascinating subject. We've had some great calls. It brings up all sorts of issues throughout society. Can an openly gay baseball player at this point in time, would he or she be successful? A lot of other issues that are involved. We've got both of them in the audience. Doug Harris, Abdul Jalil. We've got Reggie on the phone. The board in front of me is down, so I have to hear the producer yell in my ear. So, callers, thank you for being patient. Reggie, you're on the Law of Sports with Ivan Gold, with Abdul Jalil, Doug Harris. We're talking out the Glenn Burke story. What do you got for me?
Well, well, fellas, good morning. I know all the three of you. This is Reggie from Oakland. Ivan, we go back to the YMCA days, and you're doing a great job.
Reggie Green.
Thank you for calling, Reggie.
I can see line Reggie Green.
And let me just introduce, I must introduce, Reggie is also an Oakland Bay Area legend, Castlemont basketball player, Oakland high school legend, and I'm glad people are rallying around Glenn Burke, you know, who went to Berkeley High, and I'm just, he's getting so much support. This topic is getting so much support. Reggie, thank you for calling the show.
Yes, and Jalil, you've been doing great things for 30 years, and thanks for the emails, for all the events. And, Doug, we really appreciate all of your achievements and accomplishments with different films of the icons and the giants here in the Bay Area, meaning like the Dave Shigematsus, Leah Halamanos, and now Glenn Burke. But I just got a little quick story. I remember one time we were playing open gym at Cal, like on a Saturday, you know, they had open gym, and we must have won 5 or 6 games in a row. So guess what? I don't remember the other three players, but I remember it was me and Glenn Burke, and, boy, we must have ran the table that whole Saturday. And then another story, when I lived up in Seattle, after my days at Seattle University, I went to lunch with Rupert Jones and Glenn Burke. We all three had lunch.
Tell me about your, and Reggie played professional basketball, played for Portland State from Castlemont High School back in the heyday of the OAL. And one of these days, I think we're going to have to do a show on the OAL and what's up with the OAL, but that's another time. Reggie, tell me about your friendship. Share some of your experiences. What kind of guy was Glenn Burke to you? You know, as a friend, as a person, tell me, did you know he was gay? And what were your thoughts about Glenn Burke, just a human being?
No, I thought and thinking he was a great individual. Like I said, he was a great athlete, probably one of the best and great true athletes in the Bay Area with all three sports. I never did see him play football, but I heard he's an outstanding football player. But, I, you know, of course, I saw the baseball. But I know him from the days when Castle Mine and Berkeley High used to have that great rivalry back in the 70s. And
did you know he was homosexual, though? Did you know that?
No, didn't know. Didn't even know. And then back then, for me, even then, as well as now, it didn't matter.
And this was after he retired from baseball that you played basketball with him? And
That I knew, yeah. I had no idea.
See, Reggie brings up the whole point that came up with a lot of the different cast members in our film. They didn't care.
Right.
I mean, Glenn had the type of personality and the friendliness and the warmth as a human being that if he was gay, so what? He was still Glenn. And Abdul always refers to that in conversation about Glenn. He was just Glenn.
Yeah, I've said it repeatedly. I never knew gay Glenn. All I knew was Glenn. And he was the same kid I knew from middle school all the way through to the time he died. And, you know, I didn't have any issues with that. Glenn, and I can tell you, you know, I know a lot of things that Glenn went through. There's a lot of stuff that didn't get into the documentary that I had to discuss with Doug. When Glenn played basketball in Colorado with Spencer Haywood's brother, Floyd, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, and you know, and I'm going to say this.
Just too. So this is remember, Spencer Haywood was an all-time great NBA player and all-star.
And not just that, but Spencer Haywood was the one who sued the NBA to allow free agency for kids to come out of college and be selected in the pro draft. He challenged the ball. He challenged the NBA.
He's the pioneer of free agency.
Absolutely. A friend, a client, and
for hardship.
Know, and I'm going to say this, too, because Reggie knows I've represented most all the top Bay Area athletes, but I've worked with Muhammad Ali and, you know, Spencer, Lucius Allen, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you name it, Lennox Lewis, Deion Sanders, Hammer,
Evander
Holyfield. Right. You know, I can go on and on and on and on. I know the value of guys. I know what guys who have talent and bring to the table. I actually represented Reggie, and helped to coach his son, who was a great player, incredible talent. And I told Reggie he's one of the guys that you could tell him do something once he got it. The kid's just off the chart in terms of his IQ, both in terms of school academics as well as in basketball, and having a great career as a prep school in Arizona, headed to University of California, Santa Barbara. Congratulations, Reggie and Sheila. But you know, it's so much that we can talk about with all the great guys, and I don't care who it is, and I'm saying because I've known, you name it, if it's a guy who's done anything in sports, entertainment, entertainer or athlete, somewhere along the line, if he was a superstar, I was involved. So
there's a conversation that I've had with Reggie on a number of occasions, and, you know, I want to interject this throughout the show today, and is that, you know, when you watch Glenn Burke's story, and you are a former collegiate or professional athlete, you know, Glenn had a tough time transitioning away from the glamour, the glory of sports into, you know, regular life. And I think there's something really there when you, that resonates with viewers when you watch Glenn's story and you look at the things that happened to him after he left baseball, and you know, no one's leaving any sport is glorious, you know, unless you have that retirement tour, you know, and all that thing. But you know, people have a tough time transitioning away from either college sports or professional sports. And I think watching a film like Out can kind of help you identify with some of the things that can happen. And then if young people watch this film and see kind of, you know, where things can go, they could possibly learn something. And Reggie, we've talked about this type of subject a number of times. I mean, I had a tough time transitioning away from sports along with countless others.
Well, you know, that was really my whole point in going through that lineup of stars. There is not one person that does not go through that. That was my whole point. Mm-hmm. You know, Reggie went through playing pro ball. He happened to land on his feet because he was so motivated, self-motivated, by the way, to achieve. He went, became a banker. I helped him with that. I had clients of mine I referred to him. He assisted them. He was my banker for a while. Then he became a real estate broker. So you got some people who have that drive, and they're going to succeed. But there are so many countless others who don't. And there's a divorce. There's a divorce that takes place when an athlete has to leave that sport and he can't longer play, and he's off the A-list, and then instead of being invited to all the events and giving carte blanche, everything's on the house, he's not asked to come any longer, and when he does come, he's got to pay.
Well, Reggie, let me ask you this, okay? And Abdul Jalil, he said, and Doug, they say that an openly gay player today would be a fine client, would do well in the commercial industry of professional sports. We've had several callers who called up during the day who've disagreed. Let me get your take on it, Reggie, someone who's played pro ball, you knew Glenn Burke. Give me your honest assessment. Do you think there could be, in a team sport, baseball, football, basketball, a male openly gay athlete who captures the imagination, who could be a commercial success? Reggie, what's your take?
Because I came into the show late, but I think I heard one caller earlier, but I still don't think, and I agree with Jaleel about, you know, gay marriages and stuff like that, but I don't think society and team sports are still ready for that. Now, you look at the WNBA, it could be a little bit different. We won't go into that, but I think in openly team sports, I don't think the players, per se, motto, whatever that means, it doesn't mean anything, but I still don't think they're ready for it. I want a guy 20 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and take 2 charges. Give me that player. I don't care what he is. Just give me that player.
But do you think he could be a – could Nike endorse an openly gay player? Reggie, respond. Then I want Jaleel to respond. And Doug, real quick, we've got to wrap it up in a few minutes. Reggie, what do you think?
I don't think Nike would. No.
Jaleel?
I think once you get to a point where that player has that kind of star status, you can't do anything but give an endorsement. If you don't give them to them, Adidas will. Somebody's going to do it. You know, N1. Somebody's going to do it. So, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a Nike or not. I guarantee you, with the way society has gone now, that's the next step. That threshold will be broken. I can guarantee you that. And it's going to take a special athlete without a question. And he's going to be the Jackie Robinson of that era. You know, differently than Glenn was in his era.
Doug, what do you think?
I think it's only a matter of time before it happens, like everything else evolves. And when it happens, he who is in the forefront, they're going to monopolize on it.
Reggie, before I let you go, and I appreciate you calling, tell the listeners, was I a ball player? What kind of basketball player was Ivan Gold? Reggie, tell the listeners. Come on. From a pro player. In 2
Ivan
seconds.
Was a good player. We had some battles at the YMCA, and Ivan was a good player and for his height and stature, but he was a smart player. He knew his role and stuff like that, but I definitely enjoyed playing with Ivan at the Y and against him. He was a competitor, and when the day was over, we all shook hands and hugged.
Well, but, was Ivan better than his brother, Matt?
We can't go that far. We won't go that far. We won't go that far. Reggie, thank you very, very much for calling the show.
Hey, nice hearing you, Reggie.
Thanks, Reggie. Right. Say hello to Sheila, man.
I sure will.
And John.
Thanks. All right.
Okay, again, we have to wrap this thing up. It's been a pleasure. I wish we could go on longer, and believe me, we're going to touch this subject again, really. Abdul Jalil, Doug Harris, out, the documentary of Glenn Burke. Doug, let me start with you. Give me your closing thoughts and what this meant to you and where we could go with from here. Is this going to be a major motion picture? I'd like to see it.
Well, you know, I've always felt it. Glenn Burke's story has all the makings of a really great feature film. Now, I have a problem with sports feature films in that, you know, it's hard to recreate action on the field and whatnot. But a film like Glenn Burke's story could be a film that I could see an actor like Jamie Foxx playing Glenn's post-career, maybe where he would reflect back on when he played pro ball. But mainly, to me, a real story about Glenn would be about his post-baseball career and the things, the travesty that he went through.
Let me ask, are you guys working to bring this to the big screen? Is it?
Well, right now I'm working on my next film that I'm working to complete, and it's called Basketball Guru. It's the story of Pete Newell, legendary coach who was the first Triple Crown coach, winner of the NCAAs, the Olympics. in the NIT.
You know, we talk about John Wooden as the greatest college coach.
No, it was
ever.
Pete Newell.
Pete Newell. Good. And real quick, Doug, tell me, what other documentaries have you made, just so the listeners know they can look up your other things?
Well, you know, the films that I've produced independently on my own have been the Don Barksdale story, a film called Bounce, and then also the Tournament of Champions. These are sports films, but I have countless other documentaries that I produced about different historical topics here in the Bay Area.
Doug Harris, we thank you for your work. Abdul Jalil, Glenn Burke, you knew him. You work in this industry. Your positive attitude about all this. A lot of people disagree with you on certain issues, but wrap it up for me. Give me your thoughts.
You know, Glenn's tragedy is going to be an enlightenment for a lot of people, and it's going to open up a door for some person to walk through and be celebrated and hailed as a success, because he's going to be a symbol of society's change and acceptance. And Glenn may not receive any credit for it, but believe me, he's the one who made the sacrifices for it. And I do mean sacrifice. If you see the movie Out, the Glenn Burke story, it will be so tragic and touching that you understand, if you've never known this person, what life does to someone who's been persecuted and being prevented from earning a living and live his life as any other normal person would, merely because of his preferences and his choices. Right. I personally think that there's a whole world out there that's changing, and sports will have to follow suit.
All right. Okay, you have it, folks. Again, The Law of Sports with Ivan Gold. Thank you for joining me. Glenn Burke, Out. If it's on Comcast Cable, watch it. Abdul Jalil, Superstar Sports Management, thank you very much. Doug Harris, producer of Out, thank you very much.
It will air again on December 11th.
December 11th at what time?
Comcast at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock to December 11th. Everyone watch it, Out, the Glenn Burke story. Thank you both. We'll be back next Saturday, 10 a.m., The Law of Sports with Ivan Gold. Thank you for joining me. Have a good weekend.